Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we have the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is giving some teaching. And he's saying, you know, it is written, but I say. So we're making a shift from the Old Testament relationship with God to a New Testament, and it's now becoming something of not just having the things of God around us, but within us, and so we've been reading in the last few weeks, number of weeks, the pastor has been sharing messages about what we find in the Sermon on the Mount. All right. Things like being salt or light, salt being a flavor, light being a revelation. We are to be salt within our world, within the world that we touch. We are to bring flavor. We are to be the light of the world. Adultery talks about adultery and divorce, giving to the needy, the Lord's Prayer, and we talked about prayer and fasting. Golden rule, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Discipleship. There's a host of teaching that Jesus Christ was bringing to those that were with him about life and his perspective of it. And that's what we have to understand. We're seeing Jesus teaching about things, how he saw it, how he dealt with it, again, how God wants us to live in our life. All right? And so let's read together, or I'll read and you can read along with me or listen. chapter 7, verse 24 in reading. Anyone who listens to my teaching, I'm going to stop right there. Anyone who listens to my teaching. So we're talking about the teaching of Jesus Christ. This is a conclusion. He's wrapping up this message. And the Sermon on the Mount, 5, 6, and 7, he's wrapping it up right here, and he's saying, anyone who has been listening, who's listening to the teaching that I've just gone through, all right, and follows it is wise like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. We sang songs about a firm foundation. Though the rain comes in torrents and in the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. It's built on a solid rock. And of course, the Bible talks about Jesus Christ being the rock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds his house on sand. When the rains and floods and wind come and beat against it, the house will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, and for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers or religious of the religious law. So let's pray, shall we? Father, I thank you for all that you do. I thank you, Father, for this morning and the privilege that we have of seeing what your word is trying to show us and teach us. I pray, Father, for your spirit to direct and guide me. And I pray, Father, for the ears that hear, not only physically, but the ears of the heart, might receive what you have for us. Father, we want to be wise and not foolish. And so teach us, Lord, how that can be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The word wise or wisdom means having or showing good judgment. Having information, informed, learned. I like the fact that wisdom brings two things together. It brings being learned or informed, but it also brings the whole thing of showing or having good judgment. I have known a number of people who are very intelligent, but as far as daily living, you know, they don't have a lot of what I call horse sense. All right? I remember one man said, my son could do brain surgery, but he can't go in the refrigerator and get a glass of water. And he was frustrated, all right? Anyway, an interesting thought. But that's there. We're talking about wisdom, not only having information and being informed, but also showing good judgment on how to take that information and apply it. Foolishness is without good sense. Unwise, silly, all right? And all of us have been probably in both places. Some examples from my life dealing with foolishness, and I'm just going to give one. There was a couple of them that I had, but one. Anybody else in here that has ever been done foolish things? Those who don't raise your hand are liars. One of my most foolish things was as a young boy. I don't remember how old, maybe 8, 9, 10 years old, whatever. Being out across the fence in the pasture with my two twin cousins who were my age, and we took a rock, and we had, there was a rock out there, and we had the rock, and we took another rock, and then we put a .22 shell on it and beat on it until it went off. Probably not the smartest thing that I've ever done, because depending upon the direction of the bullet when you hit it, would determine where it went, and there were three of us standing there. Don't do that, kids. Please, please don't do that. Dumb. Or another one, sitting at the end of the road with a bunch of rocks, stones, and a car driving by and showering it. I was about 5 years old when I did that, 5 or 6. And the scary part was they stopped and came back. And I ran upstairs into my room and under the bed. My brother ran to the garage and hid out in the garage, and they pulled back in the yard, and the woman's window was down, and she had a cut on her forehead, and my dad came to, I heard him come to the bottom of the steps, and he said, "Arv." And I gingerly came down the steps, and there she sat, and Mom was, giving her stuff to wipe away the little blood and so forth. And my dad sat me on his knee right in front of her and began to tell me what could have happened and what might happen if I would have hit her eye. And I mean, he painted a picture that was absolutely horrible. And then he sent me upstairs to bed. My brother, he called for him, and he hid out in the garage and stayed in the garage where he spent the night because Dad locked the doors. And then he got a spanking in the morning. I much would have rather taken the spanking than what Dad gave me. Oh, it tore me to pieces. Another not too smart thing. How about some wise things that I did? Well, I went to Asbury College, and when I got to Asbury College, I met a person named Jesus Christ, and he became my Lord and Savior. Yeah. I also met this cute little young gal in my class called Lois Wilhelm. And I just kind of liked her, and I remember when I asked her out for the winter outing, for our class outing, and she said yes, and as she walked away, I pulled out my pocket Bible, which I still have, and I wrote her name in it, and I said, "Lois, thank you, God," because I knew, she didn't yet, but I knew that she was going to be my wife. And it took me a while to convince her, but that's all right. And for 56 years, it has been, for the most part, working. All right? Sermon on the Mount 5, 6, and 7 is Jesus Christ dealing with issues of life and directing and showing us how we can do it, how we are to respond to these things. And understand that when you sit down and read the Sermon on the Mount, there's 5 chapters of Jesus saying, the word says this, but I say this, and he brings up all kinds of stuff, understand this, that it's presented to us. Jesus is saying, this is how you should do it. All right? The choice is yours. And he says this, that if you do it, if you obey and do it, you will be wise. If you don't obey and you don't do it, you will be foolish. And so we've got two basic characters in this story. I kind of look at the Bible that way. I love being in I love acting. I'm an honor thespian and so forth. And I've got 100 and some hours of acting on stage, and I love it. I love it. So I look at characters, two characters. One is Jesus Christ. He's the teacher. He's the one that's bringing the information. And the other person is anyone. Who is anyone? Who is anyone? Anyone. Let's bring it home. Who is anyone? What's that? Yeah, she's going like this. You see, it's us. So when you read this scripture, and you want to bring that up in Matthew 7 there, 24, it says, no. Okay. Anyone, put your name in. Say it out loud, your name. Come on, say your name. Arvid, anybody? See, anyone, Arvid, let's use me, Arvid, if he listens to my teaching. So the anyone is me. So put yourself into that character, that position, because you are, I am, anyone. All right? So anyone, Arvid, whoever, who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Okay? And so if we listen to his teachings and obey them, then we are building our house, we are building our place, we're building our life on a solid rock. We're wise. Okay, it goes on and it says, though the rains come, torrents and floodwaters rise, winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. And the bedrock is Jesus Christ. So you see, we who read what the Word or what Jesus teaches, what the Bible teaches, and we build our life accordingly on that solid rock, we know that there's going to be some winds come and water and so forth, but our life or our whatever is going to stand no matter what comes because it's built on solid rock. And then it goes on to say, but anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. So if we hear God's teaching and we don't obey what his teaching is, we don't listen to it, we don't go along with it, we don't accept it, we don't apply it to our life, then we are going to be foolish and our home or our life will collapse. Because it goes on, who says this, when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Okay, so do we get the picture? The key is this, hearing what God wants, or reading his word and hearing it, and then taking that word and applying it to our life. Everybody understand that? You see, if first of all, you got to get into the Word. First of all, you've got to understand the teachings of Christ. That's where it all starts. And if you take the teachings of Christ, and this is why he's summing up a message now, I've been talking about this, and this, and if you will listen to me, and you will take and obey these teachings that I've given you, you will be wise, and you will build a house on a solid rock, because your life will be built upon Jesus. Winds and storms come, but it's not going to destroy you. You're going to be wise. But if you don't listen to my teachings, if you don't accept my teachings and apply them to your life, then you're going to be foolish. And when the same winds and storms and stuff come, your life is going to collapse. That it's a simple message, but he's bringing it all. He's coming from all these things, and he's saying, this is the conclusion. So the question is this morning, do you want to be dumb or wise? Do you want to be foolish or wise? It's your choice. You can live your life and do your thing and not build it on the teachings of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. You can do that. That's it. You know, there's all kinds of people that do that. But the end result is going to be disaster. Or you can build your life on the teachings of Jesus, on the teachings of God's Word. You can get into the Word and see what it says and then adjust and live your life according to that, and you will become a wise person. And when the winds and the storms come, you'll be able to walk through them. How many of you, when you were back in school, enjoyed tests? Did you really love to have one or two hands going up? They really loved. How many didn't like tests? I thought that. I didn't like them either. Teacher would teach us something, and then they had the audacity to sit us down with a piece of paper in front of us with all these questions and answers on it, and we had to go through it, and then they gave us a grade. I didn't like that because my grade was always right around the third letter in from the beginning of the alphabet. And all these kids were getting A's and B's, and I felt like I wasn't like them. That's why I don't like that system, all right? But we had tests. Test was to prove or show what you had learned. So if you hadn't learned it, you didn't do good on the test. Maybe that was my problem. I didn't learn it. Probably was. But tests are there. It's a method of a trial. It's standard. You know, I went to Asbury Theological Seminary. At Asbury Theological Seminary, you went through 3 years of seminary. And then at the end, and this is only in Asbury, at the end of the 3 years, they had what they called comprehensive exams. And there were two exams. One was written and one was oral. The written one was this, I don't know how many page exam it was, that it examined how much information you had learned over the 3 years. So all the teachers would prevent, I mean, it was 3 years of learning that you had to be tested on. Huh. Then there was an oral exam where you sat with seven or eight or five or six, whatever it was, professors, and they would ask you questions about all these different areas and different classes that you were a part of. I finished up the last 12 credits of my degree at Dubuque Theological Seminary, and they didn't do that, so I didn't have to take the comprehensive exams. Just thinking about gave me the willies. Anyway, exams, I don't like them. But they come, don't they? Every single one of us go through testing and exams. Some we fail, some we succeed at. Because you see, it talks about these three things. It talks about those rains that came in torrents. And most of us here have been in a rainstorm that was just, I mean, it was just really pouring down. I mean, you couldn't see anything. Back a couple of years ago, we were in Colorado Springs and they had what they call a bomb. What was it called, Lois? That snowstorm that hit. Within a matter of 3 minutes, it was a total whiteout over the north part of Colorado Springs. And there were 100 and some cars that collected themselves together on I-25 going north. I mean, it was crazy, but it came just, wow, there it was. Well, rainstorms, I mean, these rains are just torrents of rain that come down. 2 or 3 inches in a matter of hours. It's crazy. And it says that when the rains come, so there's going to be these violent storms, this heavy rain, then the floodwaters will rise and overflow, and there'll be rising tides and all kinds of things. And then there's going to be winds that beat upon you and beat upon you. You see, what he's saying is that we're going to experience storms in our life. So understand, Jesus is saying, these are the teachings that I want you to grab a hold of. And if you do grab a hold of it and work them out and apply them to your life and work them through, you'll be wise. If you don't, you're going to be foolish, because there's going to be testing come. Every single one of us here are going to be tested in some form or number, not just once, but probably numerous times in your life. Every one of us who has ever lived more than so many years, we know what you know what I'm talking about. You are going to be tested. We are going to be tested. And you see, what God is wanting us to realize and to see, he's not just testing us because he wants to beat us up. No, he's testing us on whether or not we're going to accept and walk out his ways or our ways. You follow me? That's what he's after. He's going to find out what in the world is where you're at. He's going to find out whether or not your home or your house or your life has been built on the solid rock or not. Because he knows that it has to be in order to get through, in order to walk through the storms that he's going to bring into your life. Anyone here remember what happened on July 15th, 1980 in Wisconsin? July 15th, 1980. The greatest, worst storm in Wisconsin's history came through south central Wisconsin. Started in South Dakota, began to form in South Dakota. Came into Minnesota. When it got in just below the cities, what happened was is the jet stream came down through the atmosphere onto ground. Winds up to 112 miles an hour. That's when the windometer at the Eau Claire Airport broke off. Sustained winds. We're not talking about gusts. We're talking about sustained winds of over 100 miles an hour for 10 or 15, 20 minutes. Destroying trees and buildings and so forth. In Pierce County alone, where I was pastoring, over 500 farm buildings went down. Over 500. It was the largest storm in the history of Wisconsin. It was called the storm. And if you want to look it up, you go ahead and look it up. Storm of 1980, July 15th. And read about it. Three people died in that storm. Could have been a whole lot more, because it came right after farmers had milked their cows and they were in the house when the storm hit. So lives were saved. Three people, one in Minnesota. There was two others. One of them was a 25-year-old Dunn County woman killed when a refrigerator in her home, her mobile home, fell on her. I had just performed their wedding 3 months before she was killed. I was the one that found her. And that's a story in itself. So I'm very much a part of this story. Peak winds of 112 miles an hour, it caused 10 major F3 tornadoes. One of them was almost a mile wide. It formed in Minnesota, south of the Twin Cities, and went all the way to Michigan. The devastation in Minnesota was $43 million. Devastation in Wisconsin, 4,800 square miles in six counties. 20,000 people without power for 7 days. It cost $650 million over the four states. It was $240 million of damage just in Wisconsin. $240 million. Straight wind that came and formed tornadoes. People were killed. Homes were destroyed. Buildings, farm buildings especially, were destroyed. Unbelievable wind. Lois and I know all about this storm because we were dead in the center of it. Dan, where's Dan? Yeah, he's gone. Anyway, I don't know if you guys remember the green van I had back when I was started in Elmwood. If you guys, anybody remember? I had a 79 Ford van, green, full van. I loved it. Lois and I were headed into this to Menominee to make a hospital call. And we were coming back, and as we were coming, we could see this monster coming towards us. And we got about a mile outside of Elmwood, and the first thing that we ran into was hail, and golf ball size, a baseball size hail. I turned the van around so the rear end was towards the hail so a windshield wouldn't get broke out. And that let up, and I turned around, and I was heading for home because I didn't know if I was going to have a home. Three kids were there. There was a couple from Florida that were staying with us at that time. They were there. We got about a quarter of a mile. I could see the sign, Elmwood, population. When we hit the storm, it was like hitting a moving wall. I pulled the van to the right off the road a little bit. I put it in park, put on the emergency brake, had my foot on the brake, told Lois to get on the floor, which she did. And I had the steering wheel. I was behind, trying to stay behind the post. And we were being hit by limbs and all kinds of stuff. And three times the van came up 2 or 3 feet off the ground in the front and bounced back down. I thought we were gone. I thought it was just going to blow away. When I first stopped, there was a tree right to my left. When that 10 or 15 minutes of that continuing banging and thrashing around was done, I was 85 feet from that tree. I'd slid back 85 feet from that tree. I know because I found another one. I measured it. It's on 85 feet that the wind shoved me back with all the stuff on. We run in, we got into the town when it was let up enough, when we couldn't get through the main streets. We cut down by the nursing home and around on that street, and we were able to cut across. And when we got to the 72 back, and I'm looking at this house, which once was a shop for tractors, fixing tractors. And so it was down on the bottom of the first floor was a business, and then they lived in the upstairs, and I could not think, where did that house come from? That shouldn't be there. And what was, the first floor literally blew out, and the rest of the house came down. The people were in the basement trapped in there for a few hours. Then I went across the street. I couldn't get through. I drove over the top of, drove through some lawns over the top of trees. A tree had come through our house and smashed through the dining room window and hit the home. The kids were downstairs with this couple. They were okay. Made sure they were okay. Then I got on the phone or the radio, and I started calling the fire department. I was part of the fire department, part of the police force. And they shared with me that there was a woman caught in the trailer about 3 or 4 miles out of town. So I took off in the van. I had a jump box or a medical box that I carried with me all the time because I was an EMT. And we took off. I took off, and I got out of town a couple of miles and got on that road, and there was a tree across the road. So I turned around and came back, and one of the firemen called Tiny. Tiny weighed about 300 and some pounds. He come running over the tops of the trees with a chainsaw, jumped in the van. We took off, and we cut our way through that tree, got to the home, and the trailer was on its side. I busted through the back window, slid down, climbed in, stepped through the shower door because you got to understand those. It's on its side, so everything is sideways. And I couldn't find the door because it was up here, needed to be opened this way. I climbed up over, which is now a wall, which was then the hallway when it was upright. I slid down the refrigerator into the dining room and living room, and Tiny right behind me. He went into the next bedroom to try and find her, and I turned around, and there she was under the refrigerator, dead. Firemen got there just then. fire on the ambulance. We cut a hole through the roof, got her out, got her in the back of my van on a deal, and got the father who was and the husband. They had a little girl, and he had run through a bunch of broken glass. He had a bunch of glass in his feet. The little girl had been hit by a limb or something. Her femur had broken. She was going in the shock. They were putting the ambulance. We took off, and at a crazy rate of speed, we got to Menominee with a police escort, got him into the emergency room, took care of the girl and him, and then the doctor came out and pronounced the lady dead on arrival, okay? So I have a very what's the word I want to use? Personal relationship with that storm. I had all kinds of farmers in my two churches that lost buildings. One of them down Churchill, his building collapsed on top of his cows. Almost 50 cows in that barn that were bellowing and bawling and crying with pain. We had to take off the bales off the top of 25 or 30 of us, dug a hole, got climbed inside, and we started shooting cows. My police revolver became very effective. I watched Don cry because every one of those cows he raised, they all were part of the family. But I began to notice something. Even though Don was hurting, and his brother George, who's now 93 years old, even though these guys were hurting, they had something that a lot of other people didn't have. They had a life that had been built on a solid rock. His name was Jesus. I watched the human world come together of all faiths and beliefs and work, but there was something different. I saw these people have joy when everybody else was hurting. I saw these people facing situations that were painful. The insurance company that they had, the Martell Insurance Company, went broke. They didn't receive the money they should have received because there wasn't enough to go around. And then they had to dip into their pockets and pay back. I don't know how that all works, but it was like getting double dose, okay? People, storms come. I had 7 funerals in 1 week, 3 in 1 day. I buried 2 sisters and 2 brothers who were killed in a car accident all together. I walked through all kinds of stuff. I saw things. I experienced things, people. And I've gone through my own stuff. Let me just say to you, hear me this morning. Hear what Jesus is trying to get across to us. Storms come. Where none of us are exempt. The rain comes on the just and the unjust. Storm comes on the just and the unjust. But those people who live and breathe and walk with Jesus Christ and follow his rules, there's something different. And it's the infusion of his strength, his power that's there. His joy. In the middle of the storms, there's joy. That first Sunday back in church at Rock Elm, and here where I could start naming the families that had lost all kinds of animals and barns. Like I said, 500 farm buildings went down in that storm. I don't know how many thousands or hundreds of cattle that died in that storm. And I listened to those people saying, wow, how is that possible? Jesus, the solid rock. We all have a choice this morning. Grab a hold
what Jesus teaches and what the Word teaches. Apply it to your life. Live it. Accept it. Obey it. And you will be the wise person. Because in the middle of the storms, your house, your life will not be destroyed. If you choose not to do that, then your life will be destroyed. That's what Jesus is teaching. Isaiah 55:8 says this. God is speaking and says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine." Get into your heads right now and understand this. Our thinking is not like God's thinking. And if you want to go according to your thinking, you are foolish. But if you put aside your thinking and accept God's thinking, you are wise. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And the word lean there means that you lean against something and you're like you put your hand against a wall and then you step away and you're leaning and you step, and when you get to the point where if you move your hand, you're going to fall on your face, that's what we're talking about. See, he's saying to us this morning, don't lean upon your underthinking, because your thinking, our thinking, people, doesn't measure up to what God's thinking is. And it will, if we walk by it, cause us to walk and fail. Grab a hold of it. It's our choice. And then Isaiah 53:1-6. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. We're talking here now, he's talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was despised and he was rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. Even Jesus Christ was acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighted him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us, and listen to what this says, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path, and you see, that's what Jesus was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. He's saying, this is God's path. These three chapters, 5, 6, and 7 of the Sermon on the Mount was giving us a path to follow. And he said, we have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Are you getting it this morning, people, please? I can guarantee some things. I can guarantee storms of life. And they're going to come in all shapes and sizes. And we can think we're the only one that is experiencing, we can think that ours is greater than somebody else's. But I tell you what I found out in life is this, that when I think my problem is so big, there's a whole lot of people that have got bigger ones than I do. But we're all going to go through them. We're all going to go through these things. How are you going to walk through it? How is your house, that you're building, your relationship with God, how is your life going to stand up when the problems of life come their way? If we listen to what Jesus Christ was teaching in these few chapters, if we listen to what the Word of God says, and we apply it to our lives, we accept it and deal with it, and then walk in obedience to it, we know that no matter what storms come or how big they are, even if we have to stand in front of a firing squad, even if we have to go through the worst thing there is, we still can't compete with Jesus. We won't fall. Our life won't fall. It won't collapse because it's built on a solid rock of Jesus Christ. But if we don't, if we do our own thing, go our own way, I guarantee this, there's going to be storms that are come and your life is going to crash with a great crash. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. What do we choose today to do, people? Are we going to go God's way? His thinking's different than ours. His ways are different. Are we going to go His way? Are we going to line up with His thinking? Or are we going to line up with our own? Are we going to put our trust in what God says and what God's thinking is? Or are we going to put our trust against something that is like sand that just kind of washes away? Miami, Florida, right now, is sinking. Did you know that? You know, all those buildings down there are built on the sand, not on any solid rock. And over the last umpteen years or whatever it is, I don't know how many inches, but it is sinking. And that's what happens when we build our lives on sand. I watched the volleyball. You know, then the sand volleyball or whatever it's called in the Olympics. How many of you ever played and done that? Have you ever played volleyball in the sand? Do you know what happens to your legs after just a few minutes of playing in the sand? Like they're going to fall off. I admire those people because when you go to get off the ground, there's nothing there to compel you. I mean, you've got to dig down deep to find something halfway solid to be able to jump up in the air. It's much easier playing on a gym floor. What's your choice this morning, people? Because it's our choice. Who are you going to serve today? God or yourself? Whose way are you going to go? Your way or God's way? Storms are coming. There's things coming our way, people, that's going to shake our world. God is going to shake the world. And they're coming. And those people who put their faith and trust in God will be able to stand in the midst of the storms. Just like Don Churchill and George Churchill did. All kinds of other ones. As I watched that storm go through. 80% of all the trees in Elmwood blew down. You could fly over Elmwood and take a picture and not know that the city was there until after the storm. 80%, I think it was 88% of all those beautiful elm trees were destroyed. Buildings hurt people, but they weathered, they walked through it. Storms come. Shall we stand? Please. Father, we can choose today not to read your word, not to listen to the teachings of Jesus. If we don't listen to him, Father, we don't have to obey him. But if we listen to him, Father, then there's the second choice, and that's whether or not we're going to obey or disobey. And Jesus has just taught us that if we obey, we become part of the wise crowd. If we disobey, we become part of the foolish crowd. And the next step, Father, is that if we obey and are wise, our foundations will hold and our lives will stand in the middle of all of the storms that come. If we don't listen or don't obey and become foolish, our lives will collapse and fail when the storms come. I pray, Father, today that everyone here will make a decision to follow Jesus Christ in their life and to follow the ways of God. For His ways are the only way to victory. Bless these people, Father. Let them be your hands extended to the world that they walk into. And I give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.